another clear expression of His grace, allowing us to stand in the gap and to bring a word from His word. On last week, we began a series we entitled Surrendered. And we gave meaning to the word as it connects to the surrendered life, being a voluntary offering of ourselves unto God to do His will instead of our own. If you and I, or maybe I should say, better say, since you and I are followers of Jesus, it means that we die to ourselves. Die to everything that stands between us and hearts completely sold out to Him daily. Every day, all through the day, all through each day. And in an effort to practice and to acknowledge the imperative of praying without ceasing, we're learning and training to pray breath prayers. All these prayers require is a heart tuned into God. Inhale with a thought, exhale with another thought. The breath prayer that we suggested on last week was and is, Your will be done, Lord. You should be inhaling. My will be gone. The idea is that we say yes to Jesus in every area of our lives, every day of our life, because it's not just a one-time event. So if you want to be a follower of Jesus, if you want to be a disciple, then as His disciples, we realize that it's the end of you and me in order to follow Jesus. It's the end of me to follow Jesus. So it's not just saying no to myself, but it's saying no to myself so I can say yes to Jesus. For me to live is Christ. If I live, I live unto the Lord. If I die, I die unto the Lord. What's the difference, preacher? I am the Lord's. As human beings, we sometimes want glory for ourselves. We want perfect health. We want wealth. We want to be happy. We want our felt needs met. We want all of our human itches scratched. We want a painless life. We want gain without pain. We want the crown without the cross. I want to affirm in a submissive way to you, there will be no crown without the cross. There is a price to pay for following Jesus. There is a cost to discipleship. Salvation is free, beloved, but discipleship costs. There is much, so much more to being a disciple, to being a Jesus follower, than just coming to church, just assembling for worship on Sunday morning. There is no such thing as crossless discipleship. Do you know what the cross symbolized for the early Jews? The same thing for you and I. Death. They were familiar with the image of a convict walking through the streets of the city on their way to their execution and carrying the cross on which they were to die an agonizing death. Amen. Excruciating pain. And I'm thinking, beloved, think with me now. The disciples must have realized Jesus was speaking metaphorically because he had not gone to the cross yet. He's saying to follow him, one must be willing to pay any price at all, even death. Anything for the king. Anything for the king. Willing to risk embarrassment, criticism, rejection, persecution, and that for his name's sake. And if necessary, your own life. It does not mean, he does not mean that the cross symbolizes a difficult situation or a chronic disease or a nagging spouse, unruly children. That's called karma. The thought of dying in the most agonizing way known to man. The thought of the poor, the condemned, the oppressed, criminals hanging on crosses by the roadside. They had seen, no doubt, men executed in that fashion. They must have understood Jesus was calling them to die for him. They must have known he was asking them to make the ultimate sacrifice for him. And then he adds in the text of Luke 9:23, he adds in verse number 24, and I'm reading from the NLT, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life, did you see that? Not give up something, stuff. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. Brethren, you know, it's easy. I know for me, let me confess my fault. It's easy to study discipleship, to study what it takes and what it means to be a disciple and read casually over these statements. These are not casual comments. These are not casual truths because they speak to our life, our living, and all of it. The person who has guarded his physical safety by denying Christ under pressure, or someone who clings to his life rather than taking up his cross because their first concern is securing their physical life, that person loses their eternal soul. On the other hand, those who are willing to forfeit, those who are willing to forfeit, to give up their lives for Christ's sake, they receive eternal life. Let me suggest to you, Jesus is not teaching salvation by martyrdom. The Lord is not advising his disciples to try to get themselves killed for him. Amen, anyhow. But he's highlighting an attitude, a pattern of thinking, a lifestyle, a direction in which we need to go, in which we need to live, in which we need to walk. Disciples do not shrink back. Even in the face of death. Whenever we're faced with a decision between serving self and serving the Lord, the true disciple is the one who chooses to serve King Jesus. Amen, anyhow. Even at personal or great personal expense. Notice with me again. The text says, take up his cross daily. You've seen that bumper sticker many times that say, try Jesus. That mentality is foreign to true discipleship. Jesus is not to be experimented with. He is a lifelong sacrificial commitment. It's taking up your cross and taking it up daily. Hear me, please. No reservations, no uncertainty, no hesitation, no retreat. Nothing knowingly held back. Nothing purposely shielded or guarded from his lordship. Nothing stubbornly kept from his control. It's going beyond what is comfortable. It's not looking for alternatives. It calls for painful detachment from the love of this world and the things of this world. It's abandoning all escape routes. It's ridding ourselves of any kind of security to fall back on in case we fail. It's putting our hands and our hearts to the plow and will not look back. And then he says, and follow me. Give up your own way. Take up your cross daily and follow me. I'm hoping it has not been so long since you remember playing the game, follow the leader. You remember that? The leader would touch their nose or touch their knee or touch their elbow. And everyone playing had to touch their nose, their knee, or their elbow. Y'all remember that? And maybe some of the guys, and no doubt some of the ladies, played the game horse on the basketball court. Am I talking to somebody? One guy makes a shot, and the others who are playing have to make the identical shot. The key to those games that we mentioned is that you had to do it exactly the same way. Amen. Exactly the same way the leader did it. Otherwise, you out. Well, let me suggest to you, beloved, it's the same objective with the life of a disciple. We're not studying the life of a Christian here. We're studying the life of a disciple, a follower, a learner of Jesus. We do things exactly the way our Lord Jesus would do it, doing what Jesus would as best we can and in every situation. I'm just talking as plain as I possibly can, beloved, because I don't want to be misunderstood. And if you are aware of what I'm saying, bless the Lord, please listen as if you are listening or hearing for the first time. You may not be able to open the eyes of the blind, but you can show some compassion. Hello? You may not be able to feed thousands with two fish and some bread, but we can be sensitive. We can be sensitive to the needs of our people. Following Jesus means making an effort in every situation to do what Jesus would do. And what it really boils down to, beloved, listen to me, please, is treating people as Jesus would treat them. I don't want to preach on the Good Samaritan, but if you're here on Wednesday night, then you know that a lot of times in more cases than many, you are not required to be a Christian. All you're required to do is be a good Samaritan and show that you care by the things that you do. Because that's what Jesus did. And it doesn't take having to be a Christian to treat people as Jesus would. In more cases than many, all it takes is just being a good Samaritan. I go further. If you're not a good Samaritan, then you're not a true disciple. That's not always easy. There's a cost involved. But a disciple is willing to pay. A disciple is willing to pay the cost. That cost. What's the cost? Self-sacrifice. Giving up what you want for what Jesus wants. I said, giving up what you want for what Jesus wants. And, beloved, I'm hurrying to my close. Ain't that a blessing? Don't say amen all at the same time. A Jesus follower gives up what we cannot keep to gain what we cannot lose. A Jesus follower gives up what we cannot keep to gain what we cannot lose. Let's go a little further in the text. Watch this now. Back up to verse 24. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. You see that? And then he says, and what do you benefit if you gain the whole world? Lord have mercy. But are yourself lost or destroyed? King James would say, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world? Right? Are you asking yourself how much world do you want? Because I felt that little twitch as I prepared for this lesson. We may not want the whole world, but we want some of it. Hello? If we get, all right. I'm not meddling today. If we gain the whole world and lose our soul, I'm doubling back around. Being a disciple, if being a disciple simply means that we assemble once a week for worship on Sunday, put a little something in the plate. Let me take that back. Act like you didn't hear that because the New Maywood Church is a giving church. We put our something in the offering plate. If that's all it took to be a disciple, then all we're risking is a few hours of our time and money. But the life of a Jesus follower involves giving our lives. Don't you? Can you feel me, beloved? It's giving our life. All of it. All of it. Giving all of our lives to King Jesus. All of our dreams. All of our desires. all of our hopes, all of our plans, everything that's within you and me. Being a disciple makes a difference in the way we approach our careers, the way we approach our marriages, the way we approach our education, the way we approach raising our children, the way we approach loving our family, the way we approach how we spend our free time, the way we approach how we handle our finances, the way we approach how we choose our friends, how we treat our neighbors, and on and on and on and on and on. It encompasses every aspect of our lives, church. And get this, every minute of every day. If the life of a Jesus follower is nothing but a sham, then we are the world's biggest fools. Because we have given ourselves to lives of self-sacrifice and obedience instead of building our own kingdoms and living for our selfish desires. I hope that bothers you a little bit. Because Jesus says, if you hold on to your life and live completely for yourself and your own selfish dreams, he says, you'll end up with nothing. Did you hear me? And if you need me to say nothing of eternal value, then consider it said. Because if all you are after is the things of this world, fill in the blank. But, when we give those things up, when we are surrendered, when we sacrifice our lives, we end up with everything. We end up with everything. Lord have mercy. We end up with, why take a chance and try to grab some stuff with our selfish ambitions and wind up with nothing than to give up everything and wind up with everything? Surely you can see, surely you don't need a college degree for that. And another thing, the disciple recognizes that without Jesus, our lives are meaningless. And the best we can hope for is to acquire some things that will ultimately or in the end slip right through our fingers anyway. Give up the meaningless life, and God will give us life far beyond our wildest imaginations. Give up what you cannot keep to gain what you cannot lose. How do you do that, preacher? I'm glad you asked. Self-sacrifice. We give up what we want for what God wants. I'm saying, New Maywood, let us build our lives on what matters most in eternity, instead of what seems to matter most in the moment. Are you feeling me? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world in the here and now and winds up with nothing in the hereafter? The whole world might seem to matter most in the moment. Huh? Getting the right car. Getting the right job. Going to the right school. Living in the right neighborhood. Blah, 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 blah. You can gain it all. I want to close with suggesting to you there is a much, much better way. Far better way to live our lives. Let's invest in nurturing the soul. Let's invest in nourishing the spirit. Let's invest in developing spiritual values, spiritual priorities. My God. Let's invest in rooting all that we do in the Word of God. Our lives should not be defined by distraction and diversion. Our lives should not be defined by what we do for ourselves in the moment. We can build our lives on what matters for eternity. And I leave you with this week's assignment, another breath prayer. Inhale. My life, God's way. Exhale. My way, no way. My life, God's way. Inhale. Exhale. My way, no way. There's a little girl. As the offering basket passed, she took the tray and she put it on the floor and she stood in it. The usher said, "Honey, what are you doing? Why are you doing this?" She said, "Because they taught me in Sunday school that the whole body, Romans 12 verse 1, was to be offered to God. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God." I'm thinking this little girl got the point, didn't she? That who she was and all that she was belonged in the tray. And that our God and that our King and our Lord Jesus does not just want donations. I submit to you again, just for the next 7 days until we come back, my life, God's way. My way, No way. If the Lord, by his Spirit, has touched you in a way that you want to respond, we give you, we plead with you, invest in the opportunity to do that right now as we sing a song of invitation.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender all, to him I freely give. Well, I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily. Well, I surrender all. Oh, I surrender all. Well, now all to thee, my blessed Savior.